Well, it is great to have you here today, and Brittany is back with us again, and I see Devin has made a trip home for the weekend, so it's good to have Devin back again, and we've got some visitors today, and wow, big day here at Candlewood. So I only have just a couple of announcements. One is that the systematic theology starts up in October. Is it the first Monday in October, right, Mike? First available Monday. I'm not sure what that means, but yeah. And the other announcement, the third, yeah, right. So October 3rd is when we're going to get started with that again. The other announcement is that there's going to be another announcement after we finish our study together today. So I hope you can stick around for that. And other than that, that's about it. We're gonna receive the offering in just a little bit after we start our meet and greet. So we were talking about it this morning. Mike says he found Waldo. So what I'd like you to do this morning is find Phil. And Phil's going to have the basket when we later on do our meet and greet. And that's your opportunity to give back to the Lord. So we'll pray for that after I read you some scripture. And I want to read from Psalm 145 this morning. And two little passages, verses 10 through 13, and then we'll jump down to 18 through 21. And the psalmist says, all your works, he's talking to God, of course, all your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. Hi, Florence, I'll make room for you. And your kingdom endures throughout all generations. And then we jump down to verse 18. He says, the Lord is near to all who call on him, and to all who call him, all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. That's our goal in life, is ought to be to bless his holy name. So that's what we're all about, and so that's what we want to do here this morning as we worship in music and as we give back to him some of what he has given to us, and then as we study the word and see how it applies to our lives. And so let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this chance to get together. We thank you in particular for this amazing book that you have assembled and orchestrated and authored and preserved for our benefit so that we can learn to know you better, to follow you more closely. So, Father, I pray that as we study this morning and as we share our thoughts with one another and as we dig more deeply into your word, that you would reveal yourself to us, your purposes for us, and your reasons for our existence and where you want us going next. And Father, I pray too for the offering as we give, that you would help us to give generously, abundantly, as one version of the way the Apostle Paul expressed it, says it hilariously, to give with a cheerful abandon, because you have given to us with tremendous abandon. So Father, we pray that you would use these funds for your glory and for your kingdom. We pray in Christ's name, amen.
Thank you, Jerry. A little bit different thing, as usual. Come in Sunday morning, don't know how it's going to go, do you? Here, let me give you a hint. We do have some visitors here. Visitors, we don't introduce you. We don't put you on the spot. It's the regular attenders we make very uncomfortable, but not the visitors, okay? So what we're going to do this morning is very simple. I'm going to say go in a minute, and you're going to greet each other, and then you yourself can introduce yourself to a visitor, right? Okay, you're right with me. I got a buddy. Okay, I'm good with kids and big dogs, that's it. So what we're going to do is I'm going to say go, you're going to greet each other, and after a couple minutes of greeting each other, I'm going to get the microphone again, I'm going to say stop, and you're going to get a brief assignment with each other, and then we'll get back to you on it. So right now, I'm going to ask you to stand and move around and greet each other, et cetera, et cetera. Have a good time, get to know some names. Okay, can I get your attention, please? Attention, Kmart shoppers. See, that stopped you more than can I get your attention. That's shame on you. Listen carefully. Whew, hard to believe. I am going to read a verse of Scripture. and novel, isn't it? I'm going to read a verse of scripture, and then what's going to happen is you're in a conversation with people or near people. Have the conversation about where this may have happened in your life. Listen carefully. Part of our psalm that we're studying this morning is Psalm 46. It goes like this. You remember it from this week if you were at a community group. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Let me do it again. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Now, shift your conversation from getting to meet David and people like that great friend already, all right? Take your conversation now and shift it a little bit. Adam got me on this? Okay. Shift it a little bit, and this is what you're going to do. You're going to shift as to, you don't have to give any real details, but maybe just give an event in your life where God was your refuge and strength and very present help in a time of trouble. So all you need to do is say to somebody, Dee. Dee's my wife. Okay. Marriage. And walk away. Okay, there you go. Okay. No, that's what she would say. All right. So just share something like, hey, in high school, this is really important to me. I got expelled from high school. God was my refuge and strength. And I'm not even making an example. That's the truth. And you probably can see why now. Okay, but just think about it through times I made a bad accident, something happened. You just knew that God was your very present help in time of trouble, your refuge and your strength. Take a couple minutes to do that. When you're done sharing that, come back and find your seat. Good job. Let's have some fun. Keep going. Hey, listen, you were said to get together with somebody, maybe share somewhere where the Lord was your refuge and your strength and your help during a time of trouble. I think everybody can point to something in their life. I had a visitor, we shared events, how that happens. The reality is, as believers, these are things that encourage us. And what I'm going to do right now, we don't need a long story, a 10-second story. I gave mine away. I already said that. I was expelled from high school my junior year for proselytizing. Will not tell you what that means. You can look it up. Has nothing to do with chemicals or the habits of the day, okay? You'll figure it out. It means to steal people from the true faith. And that's another story for another time that I've really never, ever told here because I don't want you to think less of me for doing that. So point of the matter is what we're going to do right now is I'm going to walk around. You don't have to share. But if you want to, you can just go like this with your finger. So I'll come up there and put the mic in your face, and you'll tell us, the Lord was my strength and my help during a particular time of trouble when I drove my car over a cliff. Okay? In Florida. Nice. Okay, not in Florida, all right? And for you guys who are visiting, you're getting used to the flavor of what goes on here. It's kind of fun. And it's called a curb. Yeah, that's right. Okay, good. I'm going to do this no matter what it takes. And so if you'd like to share just an event in your life, maybe it was your first marriage, second marriage. Maybe, I'm sorry, that's just being jokey. I shouldn't do that. Where was the Lord your strength? Where was the Lord your help in a time of trouble? This is serious stuff, and we've all been in that situation. But you know when you felt the Lord was especially close and a help. I'm going to ask you to put your hand up. I'm just going to stick this mic in your mouth. You're going to share for 5-10 seconds. And we just want to hear from you. You'd be surprised the variety of events that are sitting before us. Ready, set, go. Who's first? All righty. Here, that's what we're talking about.
When Jesus carried me on his shoulders through all my heart problems.
When friends deserted me.
It's my wife. My wife. Okay, good. Anybody else? I'm walking around. Hand up gets you a microphone. Here we go, buddy.
Sure, when I went through a divorce.
Okay, there we go. That's all we're looking for, okay? By the way, these guys are from New York, okay? Immediate kinship. I don't know why. Okay, just kidding. Okay. Here we go, Beth.
Double mastectomy 2.5 weeks ago.
Okay, that's what we're talking about, where the Lord shows up when stuff goes on. Anybody else? Hand up. I'll come out to the porch. Okay, I'm getting there. Jerry?
Several times regarding our son. One, when he had surgery, when we had first moved to Honduras, and there was nothing we could do. The other one was when he died later on, now years later.
I'm really still sorry about all that. I really am. Okay, I'm going out to the porch. Let's see what's out here. Okay, I see folks. I saw hands. Who had a hand up? Okay, Tom.
When I was in a medically induced coma and could do exactly nothing for my family or myself.
Wow, that's amazing.
When they didn't think I'd walk again.
That's really life, and we've watched you through all this stuff. It's been fantastic. Anybody else on the porch while I'm here? I'm wandering, you can tell that. Are you paying attention? Okay, good. Okay, here we go. Sorry, I scared him. Okay, back over here to my friend.
Trading a leg for salvation.
And if you don't know that story, you've noticed, Dennis, that is a story worth hearing about how God intervenes in a life and does tremendous stuff. Florence?
When my first husband died at age 29 and I had a seven-month-old baby, I never would have made it without God's help.
Okay. Yeah, you hear in the depth of stuff here? This is not lightweight stuff. This is the Lord meeting us at real situations in our life. Anybody else? And close. Here we go.
All the events that led us to moving back to New York from Florida, it was like a tsunami every day. And then we moved back, and we wanted to be here since. You know, our heart was here.
And thanks for coming by today. I really appreciate that. We do, too. It's fun to see you. All righty. I'm going to move on. All right. Way far away. Hold on. Jim, let me get up to you at the mic.
Yes, we just found out yesterday that our daughter's husband has stage 4 lung cancer, and it doesn't look well at all for him.
You got it, right? How God is, even before situations we get in, how God is stepping in and doing things like that. Okay, keep that in your mind. That's the tenor of what's going to go on today. For those of you who are newer, pay special attention. What we sought to do years ago in this thing called Candlewood Church was to have pastoring and community life take place in home groups. That goes on during Community Week. This is the end of Community Week, meaning groups have met during the week, and now we're here today on Sunday for what we call the gathering. It's kind of got elements like a church service and kind of like not. And you're really going to see the like not in just a little bit, because right about now is when the bald-headed funny man preaches for a half hour. So get your notebooks out. No, we don't do that. We're trying to encourage people to get in the Word and share with each other. And if you know you've been in this format for a while, you know the fact that people around you teach you the Word of God as well. And that's what we trust at this point in time. If you're visiting, now's the time we go into the Word of God together, but we typically do it in groups and with other people, and you don't get to listen to me but for like 3 or 4 minutes when this is all done. Neat, huh? You always want to go to church, you can shut the pastor off, okay? That's all good. I like that too. Hey, I've been bored through a lot of sermons, I'll admit it. Point of the matter is right now, I'm going to ask you to do is this. I'm going to ask you to, it involves moving chairs, it involves chaos, it involves mayhem, and that's perfect for about 2 minutes and then silence. I'm going to ask you to find yourself in a group of 2 or 3 people, a group of 2 or 3, preferably not with somebody you're married to or somebody you came with, but 2 or 3. I'll take those 2 boys in a heartbeat if they want to do this, okay? 2 or 3, Adam. You could come with me, okay? Just saying. So 2 or 3 in a group. I give you a couple minutes to find that group, move chairs, et cetera, to identify that you're together. Grab a visitor, get in a group, 2 or 3. See how good your math is today. Go. Everybody's found themselves in a group. Where are you going? Okay. Has everybody gotten a group? Okay, everybody's in a group. Okay, look at me, please. Look at me, please. Look at me, please. Don't look at me, please. All right. Now that you're in a group of some kind, I'm going to ask you to, one, right now, pick out a leader of that group. Pick them out right, point at them, poke at them, whatever. Pick out a leader for your group, okay? Pick out a leader for your group. Okay, good. Now that you've done that, look at me, and we'll get this going a little further, all right? You've picked out a leader. Listen carefully, leaders. Leaders. Leaders, listen carefully. We're going to do a segmented study this morning on Psalm 46. We're not just going to let you go loose. We want you to just take a couple of verses so that you can get in the depth of this. This is a psalm during this next week. Some of it will come back to your mind as the Holy Spirit brings it to you because it's that on point. Amen? It is. All right, good. Listen, leaders, you get to choose one of these three options for what you're going to study. Listen carefully. You can pick verses 1 to 3, 1, 2, or 3 for your group to study, or you can pick verses 4 to 7, 4, 5, 6, 7. That could be a choice for your group to study. Or you could pick 8 to 11, 8, 9, 10, 11. So you get the groupings, 1 to 3, 4 to 7, or 8 to 11, all right? Now with your group, make a choice as to what section you're going to study. Okay, leaders, have you made your choice? Put your hand in the air if you've made your choice. Good. You've made your choice. I like that. Now that you've made your choice, go and study, and here's what you're looking for. Find the nuggets in your text that you can hold on to or share with somebody else that they can hold on to in a difficult time. That's your chore. In a few minutes, we'll be sharing with each other. Go. If I could have your attention, you've got about 2 minutes, and then we're going to, if you'd like, you don't have to. If you'd like to share a nugget that you found that would encourage us and teach us, we'll give you a chance to share it in about 2 minutes. Okay, time is up. If you could be ending your conversation and be looking up here, ending your conversation and looking up here, you don't have to leave your seat, just look up this way when you can, I'd appreciate it. Wrapping up your conversations. This is great. By the way, if you are visiting, Rose here would like to get a hold of your name and address, mostly your email, so that we can include you on the blast list. Several blasts go out a week, and we have different things that we do, and we keep in touch that way electronically. So right here, Rose, you've seen her singing up in the front. She's the one. Just walk up and give her your email name, and that would be good for right now. Everybody has stopped talking? Great. I do this to mostly see if I have messed up this morning. Here it is. Which group covered, and the laughter starts, because I'm thinking, okay, nobody covered this grouping of verses. Which group covered verses 1 to 3? Put your hands up. Okay, good. I see some volunteers. Which group covered verses 4 to 7? Put your hands up. I was wondering. Oh, thank you very much out there. Okay, good. Saved the day out there, okay? Porch people come through again. All right, and who covered verses 8 to 11? Okay, we've got a smattering. Okay, we're good. Every time I do this, I'm thinking, okay, somebody's going to skunk me. I'm going to be stuck here, and everybody covered the same three verses. Well, it's a leadership thing, Jerry. Okay, so, okay. Now, that was funny, okay? Tom? That was funny, wasn't it? It was a good one. He didn't get it. That's why it was even better. Okay, let me hear from the groups that did verses 1 to 3. 1 to 3. What nugget or nugget did you get out of there from verses 1 to 3? That, listen, and make it personal. That's something I can hold on to this week. That when stuff hits this week, I can hold on to. What's the nugget that you came up with, verses 1 to 3 crowd? I'm looking for a hand or a volunteer. Okay. You don't have to share, but sometimes we take that seriously. Here you go, Jerry.
Yeah, I'll break the ice.
We were thinking about how the fact that that God is our very present help in trouble, and this is God we're talking about. So the fact that we have nothing to fear, even though the mountains fall down and the sea overwhelms us, the fact that we have nothing to fear because God is our very present help in times of trouble, if we can trust him in those times, he is more than adequate to handle the small things in life that trouble us and vex us. But quite often it's the little things that really get to us, and the big things we tend to weather fairly well, but it's the little stuff that either irritates us or scares us.
Good insight. Good for me to think about that. This is where we should call this segment Teach Mike. Okay? Teach Mike, okay?
One thing that just stood out, one of the guys, and I don't remember which one, said, we have to make a conscious decision to turn our eyes to the Lord and let him be our refuge.
The other thing we were thinking of is it talks about world-changing things going on, but the people who have God as their refuge, I thought of the movie Titanic, and the two groups on the Titanic that were at peace was a group praying and the band playing. And they were playing
Nearer My God to Thee. Yeah.
And the group that was praying, they were at peace while everybody else ran trying to find, you know, a salvation, where these two groups already found salvation while the world around them collapsed.
That's got some gears. Back this way. Here you go, Glenn, buddy.
Thanks. During the time that the psalm was written, when armies went out to war, they would typically take their gods with them because they saw the gods as their protector. And in this, I think God is saying, I am your refuge and your strength during the times of trouble, during the times of war, whatever it is that is going on through in our lives. And also what came to mind, I understand that there's a war, and I think it's in Spain where there's a rock of Gibraltar, and they were shelling the rocks. And after the shelling was all over, they saw the little animals coming out of the rocks. The rock was their rock and shelter. And it's a picture to me of what, of who God is, that we take shelter in him.
Very good. Good picture image there. Okay, let's move on to the next group of verses, verses 4 to 7. 4 to 7. That group who had that, anybody from there want to share a challenge from there? Verses 4, 5, 6, 7. Where am I looking? Raise your hands. Speak out loud. Oh, so they, did they, hold it, stop. Did they make you leader of the group? Hold it. Okay, you're forcing me to do this. Really? All these veterans forced you to be the leader. Our visitors to be the leader of the group. Okay, now we're going
to
do it. I know, but that's not the point. Okay, so your name is what? Her name is Becca, and she's visiting this morning. She's leading a group. How's that? Okay, you get a chance to teach Mike. Here we go.
Okay, so what we picked out is that so even in parched places, there's a river provided by God to bring life. That something encouraging, of course, God is in the midst of his people. He is there with them. He's not remote. He's not distant. He is right there with you, and he's not going to let you be moved. He's going to help. When the morning dawns, that was just a beautiful thing, because there's always going to be a dawn, even in through any night, any darkness, any trouble. There's a dawn with the Lord on the other side. And his voice is what changes things. His voice is able to move mountains and melt the earth. And he's a Lord of an army, a heavenly army with us. So it's not just, he's got his reinforcements.
Deep stuff and good stuff. Thank you for leading our people. Okay. No, okay. Just having some fun. Okay. You're the last ones before I go back inside. Oh. You're the only ones at the middle verse? Nobody else at the middle verse? Okay. I'm moving on to the last segment. Here we go. Take it. Here we go. Okay. Now we're up to, why don't you come to the door, Ann? Come on to the door. We have a speaking spot for the porch people typically, and it's right there. Ann, come on to the speaking spot. Verses 8 to 11. Verses 8 to 11. Teach us.
I'm trying to make you come over there so I don't have to.
Okay. Challenge us.
So we did 8 through 11, and we're just making note of the fact that with all the turmoil and wars and craziness going around us, that God is in control of them. He can stop them. So if they continue, it's because he's allowing it for his glory. And in the midst of that, we're not supposed to be anxious. We're supposed to trust and rely on him. Not that when it says cease striving doesn't mean don't do anything. It means to not be a part of the turmoil.
Deep end of the pool stuff going on here. I hope you picked that up. That'll preach, by the way. Anybody else? Last verses, 8 to 11, have something different, something you want to share. Is this Ed's hand up or what is? Yeah. Okay, good. Good to self-fulfilling prophecy. There you go, buddy.
Okay. I'll try the best I can with these guys. More or less the way I pick it up is that God is saying, stop and listen to me, that all the heathens and all should take word that he is the power. He's going to do what he's going to do. Am I right?
You did a great job, Ed. Just long. You did a great job.
Might not have been impressive.
It was very good. I liked it. Okay, verses 8 to 11. Anybody else share for us, share to us? I can't speak. Here you go, Laura.
In verse 10, where it says, cease striving. There's so many nations around us that are striving for supremacy. We're striving in our own lives to, you know, either get promoted in work or, get known somehow. But God tells us to cease striving because he is going to be exalted no matter what. And, you know, when you're striving, you're fighting, and we don't have to do that. And believers, unbelievers, we're going to have to acknowledge his supremacy in our lives. And eventually, you know, when Jesus comes to rule, they're not going to have a choice.
I looked at the last verse again, which is a repeat of verse 7. Verse 7 and 11 are both the same thing. And the Lord of hosts, the Lord of all the heavenly angels, the one who created the world just by speaking, he is with us. And the God of Jacob is our fortress. And we wondered why he said God of Jacob. And all I could think of was that God is often referred to as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that goes back to the history of the way he dealt with Israel and the history of the way he's dealt with us. And so when we're in tough times, we can think about the history of how he's helped us in the past, and it will encourage us for the future.
Thank you. Anybody else from 8 to 11? And elsewise, I'll go on for a couple minutes here. Okay, James.
When we looked at it, we tried to figure out who's he speaking to when he says be still, or some say cease striving. And one way is that he's talking to us, that we need to just be still. But I think looking at the context, he's bringing desolation on the earth and he's causing war to cease. And all the people who are causing war, he's basically destroying their weapons. And I think he's talking to them, be still and know I'm God. I will be exalted. You are trying to exalt yourself. I'll do it. And so I think what we need to know, that's why the verse D pointed out there at the end, the Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress, is even our enemies, he will be taken care of. And we can know he is with us.
Thank you. I really want to affirm what Dee had said, because of that repetition. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. That's repeated, and that's one of the tools that you use in hermeneutics to understand the main point of what the author is trying to communicate, and he repeats this because this is tremendously important. They got a lot out of that because of the history, so thanks for sharing that, Dee.
Very good. Good job. Okay, one more, and then we're done. Rose?
Taking what Dee said a little bit further, talking about Jacob. Jacob was, he's famous for wrestling with God. And we do the same thing. And at the end, he finally had to give up. He had to cease striving and be still. And so that's, and surrender. And so that's definitely something that we can learn from that.
If you're visiting or a regular attender here, you understand nugget after nugget is going out here. If you could please not move your chairs, but if you could just change your focus so you can see me. Let me just wrap this up for just a couple of moments with maybe something you've never thought of. There's an old song. Beth, I'm sorry if I'm looking at you, but I think you're going to pick up on this. There's an old song. It's not a rock and roll one, by the way. It's done in churches somewhere, I guess. And here it is. Shall we gather at the river? Shall we gather at the river? Anybody know that besides me? Okay, that's enough. Stop right there. I don't want to hear any more of it. I didn't like the song. But I just brought it up because there are a number of songs that utilize the term and the image of river. And so I went back into Scripture and looked around because we sing that song, but we don't make enough of it. So I went back and I found out in Genesis chapter 2. Hold it. There's a river that flows from God, and the river through Eden was the thing that would nourish and replenish and refresh all vegetation, and of course, Adam and Eve as well. In Ezekiel 47, there's a river that comes from God that gives growth and life to all growing things, including the people who are there. In Revelation 22, which has not taken place yet, there is an image where a river flows from God's presence, his throne, where the Lamb is also. And you have to start saying, if I see something over and over again, what's the deal? Well, the deal is incredibly important because a lot of people think this was written during a military time. A lot of people think this had to do with the story of Hezekiah, where there were over 100,000 men surrounding Jerusalem, trying to just sack it and take it over. It's good to know a little historical stuff here fits in good. Many years before that, God had led them to get a river of water to flow into the city of Jerusalem and how to hide an aqueduct from anybody coming in. See, if you're the enemy and you surround the town, the first thing you do is you cut off their food and you cut off their water. And then you give them demands, and sooner or later people are hungry and thirsty and et cetera, and they give up and they quit. Well, in this case, Jerusalem was holding out under a siege. You remember the rest of the story, what happens. At night, the Lord goes through, and I'm sorry, it's an East Coast term, okay? The Lord goes through and whacks all those enemies out there. They're gone, all right? One fell swoop, over 100,000 in one deal, all right? Point of the matter is this, is that the river was bringing sustenance into Jerusalem in a very tough time and keeping these people, which any normal city would have been cut off and not sustained. I started to think a bit about river, and oh my goodness, I look in verse 4, there it is. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. Hold it now. Mike's not real bright, but I'm getting this one. There's something to river. And it flows from God. And apparently so much so in the new heaven, new earth, there's a river that flows from the throne of God, still sustaining life. And here I am a million years from now with you walking around the new heaven and new earth, and there's a river that flows, and a million years from now I still need to see this? You better believe it. Because it is a picture of the fact that God is the sustainer, that God is the one that preserves life. God's the one that gives life. And this will flow the entire time, and we will see it, and it'll be a graphic reminder that the sustainer, where this river comes from, is the one who has held me. This sustainer is the one who has fed me, who's kept me, who's refreshed me, who's replenished me. All the things that water does, and there's the picture for me to see. So anytime now, I see this. I hit calamity. We all do. I hit disaster, we all do. I hit disappointment, we all do. I get in some pretty rough situations, you do too. And the truth of the matter is, verse 10 comes along and says this, be still and know that I am God, because God is our refuge, our strength, and our help in trouble. He is our river, now in this life, and forever will be. Let's pray. Our Father, I do thank you for this scripture. Father, it's not enough that they just made posters and signs with this scripture. Father, what's more important is this has to do with my life right now. This really applies to where I'm at right now in the situations and circumstances I find myself in. And I thank you, Father, for being my refuge, for my strength, my help in trouble, and also my river, the one who sustains me no matter what's going on around me. We praise you for that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, folks, listen carefully. We got a couple of minutes of a church meeting that are going to take place right now, giving you inside information. If you're visiting with us today, there is no obligation. Well, there's no obligation for anybody to stay. But if you're visiting, you can go outside. We'd really love you to stay here because this is a church that does their business very open-handedly and would love you to hear what's going on. So what I'm going to ask right now in preparation for that, if you need to leave, we understand it. If not, we're going to take a few minutes and have this church meeting. We're going to take like a one-minute break now so you can find your seat in here. And I'm going to ask the people on the porch to come inside this room. And even if you stand in the back or the side, it doesn't matter. We're going to ask you to relocate now so that we can have this short meeting. Okay, people on the porch inside, even if you're standing for a few minutes, that's fine. Everybody else, please find your seat. And then we'll fellowship in a few moments, guaranteed. Okay, everybody's found their seat and is inside this room so that you can hear what's going on. This is incredibly important that you listen to the chairman of our board, Jerry Peterson, right now, talk about a very, very pertinent topic to the history of our church going forward. Jerry?
Thank you for sticking around and for listening, and I don't see any tomatoes, so hopefully I'm in good shape. One of our responsibilities as elders is to see that we're prepared for the future and look ahead and plan for the future and at the same time to always seek the kingdom of God, the growth of the kingdom of God, God's glory. We always want to keep that in focus, and so therefore the church really is always on a mission to glorify God, to expand his kingdom, and so that's our mission. And I think over the years, Candlewood has really done a great job of that. I look back over the years and I see the things that have happened in individual lives and the way we've affected the community in a lot of ways that aren't necessarily spectacular numerically, but are spectacular personally. I think that's tremendous. And that's happened in the past, even as we experienced change in pastors. When we brought in Pastor Mike, that happened. And then when we left behind our building, I think they said in Minneapolis that no free church had ever done that yet. Nobody had ever just walked away from a building. So what a courageous bunch. And so we've been doing that, and so it's been fantastic the way we've responded to change. And for the last year or so, I've been increasingly sensing that we need to start getting ready for change again. And then as I got talking to the other elders, I started discovering they were all thinking the same thing. And so we all believe that this is an indication that God is leading here. As a matter of fact, when I brought it up with Pastor Mike, he said, oh, yeah, I talked to Jim Reed about that a couple of years ago. And then he found out he had talked to Steve about it. And all these elders have been talking about this stuff behind my back. And here comes Johnny come lately to the scene. And I said to Pastor Mike, I said, you know, We're kind of in danger of getting real comfortable here. We need to start preparing for some change. And it turns out that he had been thinking the same thing. And as a matter of fact, he'd been sensing that it's getting close to time for Candlewood to have a new pastor. And someone with the same kind of vision that this guy has got. I love his vision, his passion for Christ. His passion and love for you guys is spectacular. So. My prayer is that we'd find somebody who's very much like that, but also has some specific training and experience and skills in. How many of you have noticed any growth? Rob, you mentioned it to me, all the spectacular stuff that has changed since you guys came left, and then now you've come back, and it's a different city. We've all these zillions of people in the area who don't know Christ, don't even know whether or not there is a God. We'd like to have somebody who knows how to contact those people and initiate those contacts and break down those barriers. So that's what we're kind of thinking about. And so we've been talking about this for a while among the elders. But we've got a very unique situation and condition. And so we want somebody who is the best possible match for that. So if that is a knee-jerk reaction to a sudden event, that's not very good planning, and there's not a very good chance that we're going to find somebody like that. So we want to get started on preparing to find that man. And we want to set up Candlewood for success and to show God's glory in the future. And so, as a matter of fact, don't get the idea that we're trying to get rid of Pastor Mike, because he's been leading this process. He's been leading the charge, and his courage is spectacular. And I've appreciated that fact that this is a very much a mutual thing among the elders. And so we're going to do this as open-handedly as humanly possible. We want to have as much transparency as we possibly can. So if you have questions, you just ask us. Not right now, please, because we don't want to be here all day at the Reed's house occupying their living room. But when we finish, we'll be outside, and you can ask us questions there. You can email us, call us, text us. We can talk during the community groups next week. And in a lot of ways, you can ask questions. So, and we don't know what the timing is going to be. You know, every once in a while, the timing comes up and as a subject, and we think, you know, it's going to happen this and this and this. We don't know. God's got that all worked out. So we're just kind of like that little kid in the movie The Incredibles, where Mr. Incredible comes home, and the last time he'd come home, the little kid on a tricycle saw him accidentally crush the top of his car. And so he comes home again, and the little kid's sitting on his tricycle again watching him. And he gets out, and he looks at the kid, and he says, "What are you waiting for?" The kid says, "I don't know, something amazing." And so that's what we're doing. We're looking for something amazing, but we want to make this transition as smooth as possible. And so we have invited several people to be a part of this transition team to make these plans and decisions. So I want to introduce these folks now who are going to be joining me with the elders in doing this. Ann Kinnerney, would you stand up, please? Rose DePalma is with our team. Laura Duggan, Rosie Francis, Beth Reed, Jim Reed, and Phil St. Martin, hiding over here in the corner. And so I'm thankful for each of these people who have agreed. You can sit down, please. And they've agreed to participate in something that is going to be challenging. And frankly, to me, it's just a little bit terrifying. But with your prayerful support and God's help, I mean, look at the passage we just looked at. He's our present. He's very present, and he is our help. And we're counting on his help and your prayers. Not now, please. We're gonna deal with questions later. Hang on to that. We'll answer it, but we're not gonna deal with questions now because this could take forever if we do that. We expect that, especially in the first few meetings, we're gonna spend more time in prayer than in planning. We're looking for God's guidance, and we're gonna do a lot of prayer. And we appreciate your prayers. And we're gonna make a more condensed announcement that can go out in emails, and we'll put it on the website and everything. But John is recording us right now, so that'll be on the website when the sermon audio goes online. That'll just be part of that. So if you have questions, again, ask us, but do it after the meeting. And we'll be as transparent as we possibly can. If we don't know, we'll just tell you we don't know, okay? And so we'll be outside, some of us, later on after we finish here, so you can stop by and see us. And now Pastor Mike wants to share some thoughts on this.
Wow. That unbelievable? But vital, because churches don't do this part of things well. I'm not done. You know I'm not done. I have not resigned. I am not talking to anybody else. I got nothing in the hopper, as they say. But we knew a couple years ago that this church would need another face going forward. A face going forward. I don't want to say younger, because it's not really of age. It's about training and experience and et cetera for this church to be functioning well 10 years from now. And that's what started this whole discussion over 2 years ago, standing outside in that yard with a couple of elders. It has gone to this point now, so you get it clear. The elders have asked several people called a transition team to work with them, the elders, in finding the next person, the pastor of this church. This is not happening next week or next month. God will make it clear when it takes place. The ideal would be that we find that person in X amount of months going forward, and they come in and work with me for a while so we can visit your homes and introduce them around and et cetera and et cetera. And then I would terminate here. Right now, don't have plans. But we're trusting the Lord for that too. That Psalm 46 has to do with us just as much as anybody else. That's why you're praying for these people. But good leadership always looks forward. And leadership in churches do this part terribly. In fact, horribly, people take sides and it gets ridiculous. And I, like this leadership team, are committed to the mission of the church. It's not about me or you. It's about the mission of the church. It's about kingdom expansion. It's about the glory of God. It was never about me or you. It's about Jesus Christ. So not only don't I endorse this direction, what I am doing is actually helping lead this direction. They're not doing this to me or around me. I'm right in the middle with them, praying and seeking to do it right, trying to find that next person. And we don't have a timestamp on it. We just know it's in the future. You get the idea. So personally, I'm not going anywhere. I don't have anything going on anywhere else. But what I love about this team, and I keep going like this, transparent. This church has been transparent. You want to see financial records? You can see them today. Everything's like this. And we're telling you now, before you find out 6 months or a year from now, that a team was operating to find Mike's replacement. You're being told on the very first page that we're putting a team together who's going to be about the process of working with the elders to identify that person. So at this point in time, we're going to take questions, but privately today. talk to elders. Elders, put your hands in the air, okay? Jim Reed, you too. You've been part of this, okay? Put your hands in the air. Seek one of these people out and ask questions. We'll be outside to talk with you and try to make things a little clearer. But this is it in a nutshell where we're at. I'm going to ask for the transition team people and the elders to stand right now. I want you to see them, elders standing, transition team standing. Tom, we understand, but you'll be praying first. You're good. Okay. Never has a body posture been more embarrassing at this time. Okay, good. Everybody, look at who's standing. These folks will be sifting through who God might bring here. We will know. We will be unanimous. I will be part of this. I'm excited about this for Candlewood going forward. Everybody got that? These are the people you ask your questions of. There'll be nothing hidden from you. Let me pray for them. Been a lot to sink in today. If you're just hearing this first, you're like, wow, I can't wait to go outside and hear what you have to say to me. I'll be under my car. And in the future, there'll be a, well, that's where I live. There'll be a free flow of information from us to you on a regular basis by way of blast, by way of communication here, by way of the community groups. This is not a topic that you cannot talk about. This is a topic that you can talk about, and we encourage you to do so, especially with the right people. In closing our time off today, let me pray. Look at these people, pick them out. Make sure you're praying for their wisdom, for their insight, for God leading. You get the idea? God is their strength, ever-present help in trouble in all situations. You get the idea. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you where you've led Candlewood to this point. And for what you've done, we see it in the lives of the people around us. It's been dramatic. And Father, we know it's going to be dramatic. And so I thank you for the folks who call Candlewood home. And Father, I also thank you for this team of people you've assembled to find the person who's going to shepherd and pastor this church going forward into the future. Father, I pray that your hand would be upon them. I pray that they would hate sin like you hate sin. Father, I pray that they'd be close to your word like never before. Father, I pray that in their individual walk, that they would walk with you and you alone. And then, Father, with the wisdom that flows from you, I'm going to be tickled to see the choice that you have and the unanimous vote that we're going to have. Father, I thank you for that even now. Father, I commit these people to you. Thank you for the day of worship and focus we've had on you. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.